Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. We hope it's treating you good. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. 8:04 on the clock. James and Melissa with you. We're joined now by our good friend from the Weather Eye Weather Center, Mr. Paul Trombley. Good morning, sir.
Yes, good morning to you.
How you doing today, Paul?
Doing well. How are things going there?
We're doing good here.
There's blue sky.
Yeah, Mother Nature's treating us nice right now. We're enjoying that. What else does she have in store?
Yeah, you know, things are still looking to stay on the quieter side here through the middle part of the work week, and still looking at some warming temps as well as we continue on here. Before another drop in those temperatures is expected this weekend, along with some of the rain that also looks to come into play here for us. So still some of those changes in the weekend time frame coming up. But in the meantime, with some breaks of sun and some clouds about the area today, upper 40s for highs. For tonight, partly cloudy, upper 20s. And then mid-50s on Wednesday, mix of clouds and sun. 39 Wednesday night, so 62 Thursday and Friday. A few more showers build in from that late Wednesday night into Thursday time frame. And still some chances for showers from Friday to Saturday and Sunday, so kind of on and off with that. Overcast skies each day, dropping off with those temps from the mid-50s for high Saturday to about 50 on Sunday, and still holding up at about 50 for high Monday with a few more showers. And overnight lows generally hanging pretty close to 40 from Friday night through the end of the weekend. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Always appreciate the updates, Paul. We're enjoying this forecast.
Yeah.
We're
doesn't sound too bad.
No, we can handle that. We'll talk.
Exactly.
We'll talk more tomorrow. You have a great day.
You bet. You guys too.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul. Best in the business right there. Our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good to talk to Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Especially we get a forecast like that.
Yep.
Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club is coming up in a little bit. Looking forward to diving into that. We've also got a hack to help you forget when you forget somebody's name. Joan. Mm-hmm. I mean, Melissa.
What's with Joan?
I don't know. I just don't know any Jones, so I just keep using Joan.
Okay.
But we got to start the hour off with this one. Everyone has something that they figured out years or decades after they should have. I think one of the more common ones is on your gas tank, the little arrow.
The arrow of which
points
side
to,
points
to which side and stuff. And I'll never forget going over that with Carl and like his mind being blown, like things like that. Like, there's always these little life hacks.
I think I learned that about, I don't know, maybe 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, I definitely didn't learn it at 16.
No.
I definitely didn't know it like early
and
on.
And I don't know, maybe they mentioned it, but
yeah.
I don't think so.
I have no idea.
I really don't,
I don't
think
remember.
So.
I know that I mentioned it to my kids. Like, mm-hmm. I want them to know very young. I want that, you know, these little things that
I mean, I knew how to change a tire on my car before I knew that the car told you where your gas tank is.
Yeah. There's a thread online where people are sharing the things that they learned embarrassingly late in life. And here are a few good ones. If you are one of these people, you are not alone because you are like every single person on the planet. Look at this more as a thing, something else that we all have
brings
in common.
Brings us together.
That brings us together, that connects us all because we are all
we
connected.
We can all feel silly together.
That the porta potty doesn't somehow know when someone's inside. The sign only changes to occupied when you physically lock the door.
That's something people didn't know?
Okay, that bothers me a little. How did you not know that? You think you just walk in there and just shut the door? Like I don't know about that one. That whole milk is usually only around 3% fat. Quote, I always thought it was 100%, and when I saw it reduced as being 2%, I thought, why wouldn't they do 50% or somewhere in the middle?
And that's just not, those aren't people from Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think we know that cow milk is not 100% fat.
That jackalopes are mythical creatures, or that narwhals are real animals.
I know narwhal's real.
Yeah.
But a jackalope is not?
Nope. Jackalopes are mythical creatures. Let me see here. I want to look in. The jackalope is a mythical animal of North American folklore described as a jackrabbit with antelope horns. The word jackalope is prontomotus. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess I never really thought about it. But to be honest, I haven't heard jackalopes like since I was probably a kid. I haven't
I
heard
know,
somebody
me
say
either.
That or something. It's like, I don't know if I ever really thought much about it. But narwhals, I've always known were real, as long as I can remember at least.
But I thought, isn't there something that is, because there's a jackrabbit.
There are.
And there's. What's the other animal that is a combination of the two?
Yeah, I cannot think of it, but I know what you're talking about.
Listeners, we need you to help us. Call. Tell us what we're not thinking of.
424-2600. Yes, 424-2600.
You know what it is. Somebody does. Help us.
Yeah, call up and let us know. Let's see here. Someone thought that prima donna was prima donna.
Oh.
Meaning that the person was starting to behave like Madonna, like they're the prima donna now and will eventually go full Madonna.
That's great. And that just speaks to how much of a personality she is.
Yeah, yeah. You know, she's been in the public eye for at least four decades.
Yeah.
I mean, so, yeah, I can see. That's kind of funny, though. Other misconceptions. Someone didn't realize people were saying a coma and thought people could fall into a coma, A-C-O-M-A. And another person didn't realize that the word was euthanasia and thought people were saying youth in Asia.
Oh.
Two very different things.
Very different things.
Hmm. maybe you can blame Grey's Anatomy for this one. Someone thought Mick Jagger's name was Mick Jagger. Like it was all one word.
Mick Jagger.
Like McSorley or, you know, McDonald's.
McDonald's, yeah.
Like they thought his whole name was Mick Jagger. Now I kind of want some artist to use that as their name, like MC Jagger. Like I want that as a name. I think that'd be good, actually. that when you're an adult, you don't need to buy shoes that are a little loose so you can grow into them as you get taller. I could see that maybe take. I mean, most of us, I think, have been buying our own shoes since we were teenagers. So I think you learn pretty quick. But if you hadn't done that, maybe. I don't know.
Well, and then sizing is always problematic.
I'm really trying to help you out here, whoever those people are. But I can't help you too long. That pineapples grow on the ground, not in a tree.
Mm.
This one I learned when I moved out to California.
Oh,
I
honestly, because you could actually see them growing.
I was in my late 20s when I learned that. So I will admit that. I completely own that. I had no idea. I thought that pineapples were, as far as I was concerned up until that point, pineapples were no different than bananas. Like, they're just hanging up there. And,
coconuts.
Yeah, if anything, I wondered why more people didn't get hit by pineapples. Like, I completely own this. I did not know any better. Right?
Well, and for people who grow up in cities or who don't have any kind of connection with agriculture, especially agriculture that they're not familiar with. I mean, I think that there are people who don't realize how blueberries grow.
Yes.
If you've never picked a blueberry, because they're not on bushes on the ground. The bushes are up taller. You actually stand and pick blueberries.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning this right now. I had no idea.
They're not like strawberries.
Oh, okay. I've actually, my Nana and Papa, when I first moved out here, they had some friends and everything, and they had I don't know if it's a strawberry field or whatever it was. We picked strawberries, and I got to do that as a little kid, and that was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I also ate a lot of strawberries that day.
Yes, we used to do that every year because my mom made a lot of strawberry jam and frozen strawberries, and we'd pick pounds and pounds and pounds and pounds of strawberries.
I bring the lady these two big buckets of strawberries. And I set them down, and she goes, "Wow, you picked a lot of strawberries, and those are just the ones you didn't eat." And I felt so guilty. Here's another one I learned. Everybody does that. Because at that moment, I thought I was the only kid in human history that stole strawberries, and I felt so bad.
Red ring around your mouth.
I felt so bad for like years. I felt bad about that. Someone said, "I didn't know that pickles were made from cucumbers until I was 24 and in the middle of getting my bachelor's."
Oh, my.
This is one of my favorite things about human beings. The person that's like, their audiodidact. They learn
been in schooling their whole lives.
Incredibly intelligent, but there's like that they got that blind spot, that one spot that they know nothing about. It was one of my favorite parts of playing Sherlock Holmes, because Sherlock is famous for being one of the world's greatest, smartest detective, and all this and all these things, and being incredibly intelligent. But Sherlock unless it has to do with a case, wouldn't be able to tell you who the Queen of England was. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it just didn't matter to him in his brain. It didn't help him solve a case. The only information that mattered was helping him solve these puzzles, these crimes and everything.
Well, and I think that's something that we run into frequently as just as humans. Like, we think, okay, you're a doctor. You're a smart person.
Right,
you
right.
know everything.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They don't know anything about, like, law.
Right.
Or about, farming.
Our
farmers know about farming. And they are the smartest people about that area.
Brains only have so much bandwidth,
yeah.
you know? And this is part of the reason why we have societies, why we have communities.
And we also only have so much time to dedicate to learning.
This is why we have people in society that are doctors and scientists and specialists, mm-hmm. and why we trust them,
right? Their field of study.
Because I'm one of those weirdos that that believes in science. You know, I'm one of those people.
It's not weird, James. You know, science is cool.
Yeah,
science is cool.
I think science is very cool. I also think science doesn't have all the answers.
Right.
I think science is
science
not perfect.
Can be proven wrong.
Yes. Yeah. I get the point
of experiments.
Yeah. Yeah. And finally, one person said, while watching Game of Thrones, I asked my husband when dragons went extinct. He had to pause the show for that one. I don't know if most people have experienced this, but my daughter, like almost every daughter in human history, liked unicorns.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't understand why we saw horses all the time, but we didn't see unicorns.
Yeah.
And, you know, having to explain to her, you know, that.
The difference between mythical and real.
It was one of the worst moments of being a father in my life. I hated it. She handled it perfectly fine.
Yeah.
She rolled with it, because kids do and stuff. They just do.
Well, it's not like she'd seen them every day for, you know, her life, and then suddenly they were gone.
I think for her, in some ways, it made them even cooler, more unique.
Yeah.
But for me, telling my kid this, and like taking a little bit more of their innocence or more of their hope I ruined me for the whole day. Like, it just ruined my day. I felt horrible. She was fine.
Felt like you shattered her world.
It was like I was learning this, even though I was the one telling her it. I just felt horrible from it. That's a little bit of a different scenario. That's what you have to pause the show. I don't care if it's the middle of a incredible scene. You're like, whoa, wait a second. What did you just say? What did you just ask me? Love of my life, best friend? What did you just ask me? Who am I married
dragons?
To?
In her defense, what about Komodo dragons?
I don't think any of this is unexplainable. There are blind spots in everybody's life.
Right.
There are blind spots in the human brain.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really that different than I've known people in my life that thought that dodos were a mythical creature. No, they actually existed.
They're just extinct.
Yeah, yeah. But there are plenty of blind spots, I think. Again, I think this is one of the things that connects us more than that. And it's okay to have a little fun with this.
And laugh at it a little bit.
One of the greatest gifts you can give yourself is laughing at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't laugh at yourself, chances are you ain't getting the joke. Because
we all could
do with a little bit more self-deprecating.
Yeah, it's a little bit sad if you can't find a way to be okay with laughing at yourself.
It's certainly not the biggest thing I look for. Obviously, them representing that when I'm thinking of politicians that I'm voting for, it's obviously not in the top five of reasons why I vote for a person. But oftentimes, for me, being honest, it's between the lesser of two evils. And it's just a matter of, the degrees of stuff. And when it comes to that, I prefer a politician that can make fun of themselves.
Or admit it when they're wrong.
Yes, they can admit when they're wrong. They be self-deprecating a little bit and everything. I don't expect a politician to be perfect because I'm not perfect. And nobody I've ever met in human history is perfect.
Nope.
Other than my mother, of course.
Morning, Pam.
Yes, good morning, Mom. Other than that, I don't expect that. So I personally look for that. I have no respect at all. I don't care what you've done in life. I have no respect for a person that can cannot admit when they're wrong, mm-hmm. or cannot own when they are wrong, or make fun of themselves.
Yeah.
Every person in human history has been that way. We know the egomaniacs. We know the alphas out there, the wannabe alphas. I've never met an actual alpha male. I've never actually met that. I've met a ton of guys that call themselves that, that try to act like that. But that doesn't exactly exist. In the animal kingdom, yes. In the human kingdom, no. It's just a bunch of guys walking around complaining about, we're taking away masculinity from men and these things, and that kind of weak, cowardly stuff.
I think you don't know the alpha males because they don't proclaim it like that.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's a quiet confidence.
It's like leadership. And I've never met a leader that says, I'm a leader. No, they just
follow
lead.
Follow me.
Yes, they just lead. They just do that.
They do the do's.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club. Tons more fun on the way. Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR.
Why do we always get this one?
We always get this one. I think we got to get some more birthday bumpers in there. I'm going to have to look for some. It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at Misty's Menu. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
I want to remind everybody to get us your birthdays and anniversaries. You can send them to info@WFHR.com or james.maloff@civicmedia.us.
I'm so proud of you.
It took me so long to learn that. And that's a good note. All of our people here under this station are under that email.
Yep. First name dot last name at civicmedia.us. U.S. Dot us.
Yes. You can also, I like dot us. I like that. You can also, of course, direct message us on Facebook. Just type it in your search bar on Facebook, WFHR, like the page, and direct message us that way. It's a great way to communicate with the show as well, especially when there's words we can't think of and you guys can. Yeah, we appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Morse code, smoke signals. You can yell at your radio all you want, but this is probably the best way to get us your birthdays and anniversaries.
Easiest way.
Melissa doesn't have to do any heavy lifting in this segment.
Yeah.
We just got the one name to put the spotlight on, but we do have another name to mention. Pam's nephew, Christopher Lewick.
Oh, Christopher. Happy birthday.
Yeah, Christopher's a good guy. He lives in Oregon, Wisconsin. He does have a good name, and he's got a good aunt, too.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Pam. Thanks for sending us that. We appreciate it.
Yeah, enjoy your birthday, Christopher.
We want to send a big shout out to our qualifier today, Peyton Marsh.
Ooh, happy birthday, Peyton.
Have a great day, Peyton. We hope it's a good one for you. You're our qualifier.
Whoop, whoop.
We get to move on to some celebrity birthdays. First up, Maggie Rogers is 29, Light On singer. That's her big hit, Light On.
Maggie Rogers.
I probably know it, but I don't know her. Pharrell discovered her during a masterclass at the Clive Davis Institute of Music in New York.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. Jonathan Bailey is 35. Lord Anthony on Bridgerton. I didn't watch Bridgerton, but I know a lot of people that did.
I wanted to watch it, but I don't watch TV, so.
Tell me this isn't a great nickname, Melissa. The Great Fundamental. That's what Tim Duncan's nickname was, and Tim Duncan is 47 right now. Retired,
really?
Yeah, retired NBA superstar for the San Antonio Spurs, won two titles. More than two titles. I'm sorry. Won
okay,
more
wait.
Than two
sports,
titles.
Sports, tell me the nickname again.
The Great Fundamental. Because Tim Duncan, his fundamentals were so sound. He was such the basketball, rebounding,
his
everything.
Okay.
His skill set was...
Got it.
Like if you were doing one of those video things to try to show people the fundamentals.
He'd be the training video.
Yeah. By the way, if you haven't seen... Like Tim Duncan also was very clean cut as an NBA player. No tattoos, none of that stuff or anything. Rarely ever got in trouble or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like as a 47-year-old man, he's got dreads. Like,
yeah.
He has
nice.
Let go. Like more power to Tim Duncan. He is living his best life right now, man. One of my favorite creative people in the world, Mr. Jason Lee, is 53 today. Jason Lee is one of the most interesting people, I think, that has gone into the entertainment world. He started around the time of Tony Hawk, when the early trailblazers of skateboarders.
Okay.
He even invented a move in skateboarding that's used still today and everything.
Hmm.
Got some injuries and kind of wasn't able to continue with his career, so he started acting and had a friend named Kevin Smith. who he started working with and everything, and Kevin mm-hmm. Smith just happens to be the Kevin Smith of Jay and Silent Bob, Dogma, Mallrats. I mean, all those movies that he's done.
Okay.
They're friends. And so he started giving them roles in movies and stuff. Mm. And before you know it, he's doing like Chasing Amy and some of these great movies. And Jason Lee's just a phenomenally good, deep actor. He really gives you his all, whether it's comedy or drama. He brings it. He's very good.
Looks like he's doing voice acting, too. He's in all the Elvin and the Chipmunks movies.
He was the adult. Yeah, the adult. John, yeah, something like that. He was. Of course, Jeff in Almost Famous. He was Dave in the Chipmunks movies. Dave, that's what it was. Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Jay and Silent Bob. He was in all of the Kevin Smith movies.
Dave.
But I think my favorite role of his was Earl Hickey in My Name is Earl. Underrated TV show that they shouldn't have. They ended it on a horrible cliffhanger when they canceled it. It was horrible. Whole great cast. Big fan of Jason Lee. Because now... when we last left him, he was acting and stuff, and mm-hmm. he did the Alvin and the Chipmunks movies, and that was kind of one of the last things he did. Now he is a world famous photographer, and he takes some of the most beautiful photos and some incredibly like still works of art.
Wow,
like, where he has gone from skateboarding to acting to photography, it's just really cool to me. I love the arc of
see what's next because he's only in his 40s.
Yeah, 53. He's 53.
Oh, 53.
But
sorry,
you're right though. He's still got a lot of life.
Yeah.
Left. Renee Zellweger is 54.
Aww.
Great actor.
I like her work.
Bridget Jones, Roxy in Chicago, Judy Garland and Judy, Dorothy and Jerry Maguire. Renee Zellweger, I admire her career later, her career especially because of, you know, coming out the gate, she was pretty well loved. Just one of those sweethearts that they love to put in movies.
Kind of typecasted a little bit.
She put on a little bit of weight during the Bridget Jones stuff because that's what the role called for, and she's a thespian. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, if a man does that, it's one thing. You know, Robert De Niro puts on 60 pounds to play Raging Bull for 10 minutes of a movie, and he is acclaimed for it, including myself.
Yeah.
She does and immediately, what's happening with
Renee? Body shame.
And this sent her into a spiral where she got a bunch of plastic surgery and stuff, which, you know, messed with her face quite a bit. So she's away from acting for a while. The Judy Garland role really brought her back, and I'm really happy to see that she has come back and is working again and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Buck is 54. I think the most alienating announcer maybe in history. Like, people either like Joe Buck or hate Joe Buck. I've never heard anybody say they love Joe Buck. And I don't mean that as an insult, just trying to be honest. I don't like to put on airs just because it's a person's birthday. Joe Buck called the 2005 World Series for my Chicago White Sox. It's one of my favorite moments in human history, and I've never watched it on with sound. Like, I can't listen to him. I can't do it. I just am not a fan. But I respect his career. Like, it doesn't matter what I think. Mm-hmm. You know, from going from Fox to now ESPN, where he is making tons of money. And
somebody must like him.
Yep. Let's see here. Eric Avery is 58, co-founder and bassist for Jane's Addiction. Rory Fleck, Feek, is 58, widowed country singer, My Last Breath Here, Joey's song, When I'm Gone. The great, the wonderful, one of the greatest voice actors of all time, Hank Azaria, is 59. Voice of Chief Wiggum and Moe on The Simpsons. He used to play Apu. He does a bunch of other voices on there as well. He's Brockmeyer. He was at Spartacus on The Birdcage, one of the greatest parts in that movie.
And he was in, wasn't he in Anastasia? Yeah, he was Bartok.
Yeah.
In Anastasia.
Hank Azaria is so dang talented. I'm a huge fan.
I love his voice work.
Talia Schreier is 77. She's Adriana in the Rocky movies and Connie Corleone in the Godfather movies. You might also remember her as the therapist in those old Geico caveman commercials. Talia is the sister of Godfather director Francis Ford Coppola and the mother of Jason Schwartzman and the aunt of Nicolas Cage and Sofia Coppola.
Wow.
What a life. What a family.
Yeah.
That's a Thanksgiving I want to go to. I want to see what that Thanksgiving's like. great actor. Very good actor.
Mm-hmm.
Stu Cook is 78, guitarist for CCR, Proud Mary, Bad Moon Rising, Down in the Corner. Ton of good hits. And one of the greatest actors any of us will ever see. Mr. Al Pacino is 83 today.
Wow.
Won an Oscar for won an Oscar for Son of a Woman. Michael Corleone is probably the role he'll always be known for The Godfather. But, yeah, one of the greatest actors I've ever seen. And, so Chris Farley, people have always looked at me weird about this, but I believe that Chris Farley and Al Pacino have a connection.
Okay.
When I teach at Second City, every couple, you know, semesters or years, you'll have a kid that comes in and he wants to be Chris Farley.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. That's great. I love the influence. I love that even all these years later, Chris Farley still has that influence. But you can't be Chris Farley.
Well,
like,
no.
There's only one. And Chris Farley learned this because Chris Farley was trying to be Belushi. Mm-hmm. And he realized going to Second City and stuff, okay, I got to be me. I can't be Belushi. There's already been a Belushi. I can't. Nobody could ever be anybody else.
Right.
And so you tell these students this and stuff. And one of the greatest ways to get them to realize that and start being themselves is Chris Farley was a master at going from 0 to 1,000. Very few people can do that comedically and make it work, mm-hmm. and make it seem real, make it seem like he's not just playing for a scene or something like that. Like this is, he actually feels this way. He's, oh my God, he's, you know, actually losing it and everything.
Right.
He was a master at it. In human history, in comedic history, I don't know anybody who was able to go from 0 to 1,000 as quickly as Chris Farley was.
Mm-hmm.
Not even Belushi. Al Pacino does this in drama. Al Pacino can take you and lull you into a full sense of security. And oh my God, he's and big as a house and everything. And mm-hmm. I've never seen an actor. I've studied this stuff like insanely, people. I'm not saying that because I'm proud of it. I'm just giving you a little bit of data to that. And I've never seen like anybody like Farley, like Pacino, that can do that in their fields, that can do that in that way.
Well, and there's something about Al Pacino. If you look at him now, like more recent pictures I'm looking at, there's just something, I don't know, in a weird way comforting, yeah. about how he looks. And I think that's part of how he draws you in with that, where it's just, oh, we're comfy. We're like, whoa, where did that come from?
Yeah, I think a devil's advocate when you said that, because he plays the devil in that. And he's mm-hmm. he's charming as all get out. And
yeah.
that's what's part of what's scary about his performance.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting thing. I never thought of him like that. But you're right. I get it. Yeah. Hmm. This is really sad, actually. I don't know the man that well, but Len Goodman, head judge of Dancing with the Stars, mm-hmm. I believe he just passed away yesterday.
Yeah, I think so.
His birthday's today.
Oh,
he would have been 79 today.
Wow.
Head judge on Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. I didn't see much of Dancing with the Stars. I saw it loosely, but I know a lot of people liked him.
Oh yeah, right, he was a dance teacher, and
that's a shame. Mm-hmm. When Betty White passing like a week before her birthday or whatever, I thought yeah. that was sad too.
Mm-hmm.
That always seems like a rough gig to me.
Well, especially when it's so close.
Yeah, yeah. Like a day or two after, that's not as bad. I don't see that as bad.
A lot of times that's people strive for that.
Yeah.
And then they do pass shortly after their birthdays.
Meadowlark Lemon, born on this day in 1932, passed away in 2015. Former legendary leader of the Harlem Globetrotters. Actually got to see Meadowlark Lemon do his thing. It was amazing. Just an incredible athlete and entertainer and charisma for days. The Globetrotters, if you ever get a chance to see the Globetrotters, take it. Take it. It is so entertaining.
Mm.
And one of the greatest voices of all time. And I stand on that hill. I don't care how many singers come about. The lady of jazz, Ella Fitzgerald.
Mm,
born on this day in 1917, passed away in 1996.
Wow.
What a life. Ella was one of the first people to walk through the front door. Like, I love Billie Holiday. Like, if you press me on my favorite voices of all time, it's Billie Holiday, it's Patsy Cline, and it's Marvin Gaye. That's my top three.
Okay.
Ella is right at number four. She's right there, right on the cusp looking in. And part of what I love about Ella is her off the stage life. Ella became a big name and was huge. Think like Madonna level huge and everything, and her peak and stuff. And she still had to walk in through the kitchen. She still had to walk in through the back and everything. She still wasn't paid like other entertainers. She started trying to get in through the front door. It was actually Marilyn Monroe that helped her get through the front door. Marilyn Monroe, they wanted her to come to these shows and see these concerts and everything. Marilyn would enter where Ella would, through the kitchen. So the paparazzi couldn't get all the pictures of Marilyn coming into my bar, into my establishment and everything. So Marilyn said, okay, you want that picture, you want that notoriety, Ella's got to come with me.
Nice.
It's nobody ever talks about that with Marilyn Monroe. Nobody ever mentions that stuff. But I think that's really cool. I think that it ties into her history. And it speaks to Ella's career. As great as that voice is, she was just as great of a human being. One more time, want to wish a happy birthday to Christopher Lewick.
Happy birthday, Chris.
And, of course, a happy birthday to Peyton Marsh, our qualifier.
Yeah, congratulations, Peyton.
We encourage you to take a listen to Melissa's News. And, of course, head on over to Misty's. Get on over there. Treat yourself. They're open 6 to 2, 7 days a week in 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the game for us. Wish them a good morning from all of us at WFHR. Good morning, Wisconsin. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. I guarantee you my mom is mad at me right now for talking over this. She loved this song.
Really?
And the only reason was because, well, where is my John Wayne? It's her favorite actor of all time. And I guarantee you that's the only reason. You put a lie detector test to my mother, and that's the only reason she liked the song. I think she likes her voice, too. Paula Cole, I believe. This is Paula Cole, I think.
Could be.
Welcome back, everybody. We got some fun stuff to get into to take you up to the end of the hour. Right now, for this segment, life hack time. I love these. Mm. I'm a fan of these. It isn't often, but every now and then, someone will ask you on social media and get a brilliant response, or helpful at least. And it is, what is somebody's name? Someone recently asked this question, how do I ask this girl I've known for months if her name is Audrey or Audrey? Aubrey or Audrey?
Oh, okay.
He's not sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could ask someone else who might know her, or get sneaky and find something with her name on it. But someone provided a great hack for when this situation comes up.
Okay.
You forget someone's name, but you should know it, so you're afraid to ask. Just out of the blue, ask them, wait, what's your name again? When they say, Dave, you say, ha, I know that. I mean your full name. Then they say, oh, I'm sorry, it's Dave Smith, I'm sorry, I didn't know, or Dave Jones Smith, yeah, or whatever and everything. And you could be like, right, sorry, forgot. It won't work in every situation.
No.
Like with relatives or a friend's spouse, or when you're in a job interview. I like the idea of in a job interview doing that. But something like this can be good for saving face and saving maybe some feelings.
Hmm.
I don't know if that counts as a life hack. I don't know if it does, but I think that many of us have done similar things like this. Everybody has forgotten somebody's name before.
Oh, yeah. No, and you're usually leaning over, what's that guy's name again?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To somebody beside you, or that was just talking to them. I've done that.
There's assistants for political people. Their main job.
All their job is to know people's names. Yeah.
Coming up to you right now is the Joneses, and they're from Kenya. they have two kids.
And they make fabric.
Yeah. How are the kids? How are they? You know, So, I guess that'll work. Do you have a hack that you use? Do you have?
I have such a big family that I usually find a way to link somebody's name to somebody in my family.
Mm.
Whether it's just the first letter, or if it's somebody with the same name. That's kind of my hack. That, and I've heard a lot, you try to say their name multiple times when you first meet them.
Mm-hmm.
Use their name.
I've never had a scenario like Morning Magazine, where every day I'm interviewing two different groups of people and on different subjects, and so many different faces and names throughout the time that I've been doing it, in the 5 years or whatever it's been that I've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I really hate getting people's names wrong. I know. Yeah. I mess up names every day on the air. I don't do it because I like to. I do it because I want you guys to be able to relate to what we're doing here.
Well, and you don't do it on purpose.
No, dear God, no. I get really frustrated with that. So I want to be able to, know people when they come in the building. Hey, they've been coming here for a year. I know, Jackie Garantini. I know mm-hmm. these people. For me, what works and helps a little bit is hearing them, having a conversation with them. And when they're talking, just every once in a while, that's Melissa. That's Melissa. Like, and I associate your voice with your name or your name with your voice. Mm. I end up tying the two together.
Yeah.
That's not always good when you're looking at a picture. It doesn't help
or you're
you
talking
much.
To somebody else about something that person is involved in.
It's not a perfect system.
Hey, but it's a method.
Yeah, it does help a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know a great hack, though, or a great way around this other than... the relatability, because that person you're asking their name has forgotten somebody's name before.
Yes.
And I think that we all can give each other a little grace with this, too. Now, if you've been dating somebody for a year and they look at you and like, oh, God, what is your name again? That you could be a little offended
that
by.
That might be a red flag.
Yeah. That might be a little rough.
Yeah.
But outside of things like that.
I think we've all been in that situation. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, I'm sorry. Can you please tell me your name?
Yeah.
I've forgotten your name. I mean, it's not a great thing to, you don't want to make somebody feel bad for forgetting their name, but it's relatable, like you said.
And chances are, as somebody who's been on both sides of this, like I would imagine most everybody has, I actually it hurts more when I forget somebody's name than when somebody forgets my name.
Right.
When somebody forgets my name, I actually am a little surprised. I'm like, it's James. It's not that hard, but okay, cool. It's James. There you go. You know, I don't believe, and I want to say this 100% because I don't have a complete history of my brain here or anything like that. I don't remember everything, but I don't believe I've ever gotten offended by that. I can't remember one time ever getting offended by somebody not remembering my name.
And I don't know if this is just my artistic brain going or whatever, but there's a skit that just popped into my head. You know, somebody who forget somebody's name and they get offended by it, I would want to call that person by every other name every time I see them, a new name. Yeah. Oh, hey, John, how's it? Oh, it's not John, sorry.
Yes.
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
I've done that with people that I can't remember their name, and they're like a work colleague or something like that. I've done that with teachers.
No, but only to somebody who really got offended because you didn't remember their name.
Yeah, that's different. That's different.
Right.
That's a different way to do it. Right. I like that.
So then you're doing it on purpose. So, I know your name is John, but I'm going to call you every other J name in the book.
Yes. That's the funny one. I like doing that. That's fun. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and wrap up the hour on the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. I am having I thought I was having a good hair day. And yeah. I don't have a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I have caught my hair in this headphone, or in this microphone, like five times this morning already. So I keep
darn
yanking.
Hair.
I don't know if you, but twice I've done it, and you haven't noticed. And I keep getting afraid you're going to catch me doing it. Like, what is James doing? Like, just see me yanking my head over here out of the corner of your eye or something.
It's a good thing this isn't a visual medium.
Yes. I do want to mention, though, you just teed me up a little bit there. One of the things that we are working on, and we got some stuff going on that we're gonna work out behind the scenes here and everything, so this probably won't be until June, July, somewhere around there. I've been talking with Taylor and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Shout out to them. I encourage you to support the work that they do. They'll be joining us tomorrow during Morning Magazine when Lance Pundle's with us.
Nice.
About doing Facebook Live. With the morning show and things. We used to do that all the time and had a lot of fun with it. But what we used to do is I'd pull my laptop out and use the camera from that, and it was kind of crummy. You didn't get to have a really good angle. It was just the one angle. I want to do it right. I want to let the people really good at this stuff, like our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, to have them record it and do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at things like that as far as the visual part to add to this show.
Cool.
For now, let's get into passing and death, because that's fun and exciting. No.
So now we're going to talk about dying.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about dying.
Well, to be real about it.
We're all gonna.
It is one of those conversations that I do think the more we talk about, the more stigma we take off of it and everything.
Yeah.
I mentioned that it's kind of funny. I mentioned Jackie Carantini earlier. She joins us from Morning Magazine. And one of the things Jackie and I talk about is, prep. prep for that next great adventure.
Yes.
Making sure that your will is done and your things like that are taken care of so that your loved ones don't have to worry about
it. It's one of the better gifts you can leave for your loved ones.
Really is, yeah. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about these things, in the back of your mind, if not in the forefront, I think that that stuff should be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be kind of interesting. Have you ever thought about what you'd like done with your remains when you're gone?
Yes.
I know plenty of people that, in fact, I know like 90% of people have a plan or have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I do know some people, though, they're like, I don't care. I'm not here anymore. Why would I care? Like, you know, that kind of thing. I will say those people, even those people, are organ donors. So even those people that don't, you know, put much thought into the afterlife or death or any of that stuff, even they are organ donors. Be an organ donor.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a side note. A survey asked people what their preference for their remains would be, and there were more than 24 choices. The most popular one was being cremated and having your ashes scattered somewhere in nature. The second most popular was having your organs and tissues donated. Sad that that's the second one on there, but keep moving here. Followed by being buried under a tree, having a traditional burial underground in a coffin, and having your entire body donated to science. Most of the top responses were variations on that kind of stuff, but the 10th most popular answer was a little more unique. A Viking funeral. Having your body sent out into the water on a boat and then set on fire with a flaming arrow.
Mm. Okay.
I'm a history nerd. So I don't want to like shatter anybody here or anything like that that actually may believe that that actually happened with every Viking. But that rarely happened. And
burning up a lot of, you know, a boat is kind of a nice resource.
Well, and most Vikings died in battle. And you weren't like, hey, everybody pause for a second, all right? I got to get my buddy here and I got to give him a proper funeral. Otherwise, he can't get to Valhalla. So everybody stop. Everybody thought the more traditional Viking death is more of a dying in battle so you can go to Valhalla. Otherwise, you can't get to Valhalla. If you die of old age, you die of a heart attack or something like that, you ain't going to Valhalla. That's just the way the Viking lore works.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of interesting. Yeah. And I suppose, you know what I would like to do, what I kind of find funny, I do admire in some ways the people that make their funeral a little funny. Or try to make it a little light for people.
Yeah.
Since I was a little kid, I've been a fan of the New Orleans style funeral where they take the casket down. You got the big jazz band playing behind and everything.
It's a big party.
I'm not saying that death is easy. I've dealt with death recently. I'm not saying it is by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love when we come around, when we're able to sometimes, and those that can, come around to the full story.
The acceptance of.
Yeah, and how beautiful it is. Like, the part of the beauty of life is that we only get so much time. And that's, you know, the crux of it, and it's also part of the beauty of it and everything. Mm-hmm. It brings it home. I think it helps us make a connection with our own mortality and understanding of it.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of making your funeral as difficult as possible on your loved ones.
Like, why having do you these love extra, that?
I don't mean like difficult, like in like hard. I mean like difficult, like, wait a minute. He wanted balloons with what on them? Like, like just the weirdest kind of stuff. Like, I want a real penguin at my funeral. I go ahead and pull that off, guys. Like, obviously with the tongue in cheek of it.
Yeah.
Like, obviously if you can't pull these things off, it's okay. But have some fun. Enjoy. I want somebody playing trumpet. I want a guitar solo after my. After whoever goes up there gives, you know, the nice speech or whatever afterwards.
If they can't play.
I want a wailing guitar solo afterwards, yes, and especially if they can't play. I'm not saying I'm actually going to do this. I do love the idea of doing that. At my Nana's funeral, she was the matriarch of our family, and it's still the hardest funeral I've ever been to and may ever go to, and hopefully, knocking on wood, you know, here and everything. And everybody was so sad, and I've never seen my dad and my papa like that before. And my cousin's struggling, and I go up there to speak, and I didn't have a game plan. I didn't know what I was going to say. I just was going up there to put my arm around my cousin, and then she moved away from the microphone because the actor walked up there. So, of course, he'll take over.
Oh, dear.
You know, and I'm up there, and I'm looking at everybody, and I've never seen my dad and my papa that way. And all I can think of is my Nana was like, she was light. She was life. Mm-hmm. She was so, even in the harshest moments of her life, that woman found laughter, found smiling.
Yeah.
So I immediately think of that story that I've told before about her trying to get this stain out of the carpet, my papa and I leaving for a couple hours, coming back after swimming, and she's still trying to get that stain out. I walk over there and realize it's the light coming through one of her little fixtures on the window.
Oh, no.
And it's hitting the carpet. And it's not a stain. It's not that. A stain. And I don't know how I'm going to tell her this. I think she's going to get mad at me. I just started living with them. I just moved up here. And I tell her this, and she immediately fell over laughing so hard, called my pop over. Jim, you got to see what I just did. She could laugh at herself. She got the joke. She understood it. She, and her whole life was that way. She lived life laughing, enjoying it. Mm-hmm. So I told that story about her and everything, and everybody's rolling over laughing, the whole entire funeral. Like, that's what she wanted. She didn't want to sit in there sad and mourning her and everything. Yes, a little of that, sure.
Of course, because you miss her, but it's a remembrance of their life.
I think that that's part of what we owe the people that we lose, is that. It's certainly being, you know, grieve how you grieve. I don't think it's fair to say to anybody how to grieve.
No.
But I do think that you that person that you're trying to honor, part of the way to honor them is laughter, is enjoyment, is sharing good memories, is those things. And maybe when you're sitting there at their funeral, like, did James ask for a real penguin here? Is that a real penguin?
Did Melissa really want to be buried in a mushroom suit?
Really? Okay, I guess, if that's what you want.
No, actually, I've changed my mind now. I want to be composted.
Okay, I didn't want to put you on the spot, so I was going to ask. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah,
okay.
I want all of everything that can be donated.
Yeah.
To help others, whether that's with actual, like, you know, here's my kidney, here's my liver, here's my skin, because, you know, all of it can be donated.
Yeah.
And then the rest could go to science, but whatever's left should be composted.
I'm donating everything except my funny bone. Nobody wants it. But outside of that, I'm donating everything. I will say, though, and I'm glad this came up, because I meant to tell you this like months ago, or maybe a month or two ago, and the last time we talked about this and you mentioned the composting thing, I looked into that a little bit because I didn't know what that was. I've always wanted to be cremated, have my ashes spread between Lake Michigan and Lake Wisconsin, spread over there, the two places I've spent the most of my life in, in Chicago and Wisconsin and that and everything. But now, researching it and hearing about it and everything, like, I think that's pretty cool that, like, you can literally, it's one thing to give all your organs to humans, you can give your body to the earth,
right?
It's
because there's so much that damages the atmosphere when we're cremated. Burning all of that is not good for the
I didn't know any of that. I'm so glad that came up, and now I know, and now I'm kind of leaning more towards that and everything. It feels, I love symmetry in life. I love when things are full circle or when you see the connections. And to me, it's the greatest full connection you can get. We are made of stardust. Mm-hmm. We are made of nitrogen and calcium and things that came from the stars.
Water,
everything. Like, we are made of the universe. Mm-hmm. That's not like me being metaphorical or anything, everybody. I'm not trying to be poetic. It's literal. Like, so what better way to go than to kind of put yourself back into all of that and just be a part of it? It seems
some
magical. Seems awesome. Yeah. It really, really spun. Not that you were trying to sell it to me, but you really sold that idea to me. I really thought that was pretty cool. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back. Got more fun in store for you on The Morning Show at WFHR.